Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, second line by Rava. We have been learning the Machloikis of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, where a father has the estate that he will leave for his sons. We have been discussing a situation where he has sons, but he wants to give one son more than the others. The Rabbanan's opinion is that if it's being given as a Yerusha, so as we learned, when you use the word Yerusha, you have to follow the rules of Yerusha. And the rules of Yerusha are, again, we'll keep it a simple situation, there was no Bechar, and all the brothers divide equally. And therefore he has no right to manipulate giving one brother more than the others. Yochanan Breika's opinion, as we have been learning, is that as long as the people that he's giving more to, the person he's giving more to, is a Yairish, he's allowed to do that. Interesting to note that I saw from the Migdash David, and says that even the Rabbanan, whom we just described their opinion as being Machmirim, that you can't manipulate the Yerusha, will agree that let's say there were a situation where there's a father who's leaving $100,000 Yerusha, and he has real estate, and he has cash, and he has different assets. And he says that all of the Yarshim should get, as is the halacha, equal shares. But he wants that they shouldn't be divided, but he wants to instruct how that should be divided. This son should get the cash, this one should get the real estate. That, even the Rabbanan would agree, since everybody's going to be getting the share that the Torah entitles them to get, that the Rabbanan will agree that that is permissible. But now the Gemara begins with the following question. Rabbi Yochanan Breika, that was Makel, as we just explained. What circumstance did Rabbi Yochanan Breika say his ruling? Bari Rava, Bari Heich. What will be the din if the person who's making this tzavah, who's making this, giving these instructions, is Baruch Hashem, a healthy person? Ki kam Rabbi Yochanan Breika. When did Rabbi Yochanan Breika say his halacha? Strictly b'shchimera, the barusihu, a very ill person who's about to die. That's where Rabbi Yochanan says his halacha. Avol b'bari loy, but by a bari, by a healthy person, he will agree that it's not acceptable to manipulate the shares of the Yerusha. Oidoma feel b'bari nami, or perhaps he says his psak, even by a healthy person. And the Rishonim discuss, why would we assume that there's a difference between a shchimira and a bari? The simplest pshat is based on the Gemara we learned in the previous year, that the Gemara says, where does Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika base his ruling on? Because he says, the pasuk says, b'yoyim, b'yoyim, so the Torah, when it teaches us this halacha, is speaking about a person who's dividing his Yerusha today. So who's dividing his Yerusha today? A person who's a shchimera, who's about to pass on. But someone who's not in that situation is not the subject of the pasuk of b'yoyim en chilo yisponov, and the special rule that Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika has been teaching us is not speaking to him. Another pshat is that the Torah wanted this division to be a final division. So somebody who's about to pass on is not going to start changing his mind. He's leaving the world. Or somebody else, we always have to be concerned, is going to start going back and forth. And to avoid that, Rabbi Yochanan Breika will agree that you can't manipulate and every day change your mind. And in fact, the Mefarshim say that this pshat is connected to the machloikis that we discussed in our previous year between the tzais and the nesivis, if one, according to Rabbi Yochanan Breika, can actually change his mind. Then there's another question in the Rishonim. If the halacha is that this din doesn't only apply to a shchimira, but it actually even applies to a bari, which is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, in Mitzvah Hashem, that is indeed the halacha. That Rav Yochanan ben Breika's ruling, even is speaking to a bari, will there be a necessity to make a kinyan? We know that there's a halacha, divrei shchimera, k'ksuvim k'masurim dami. And what a shchimera says is final, even though in halacha a kinyan is always required. Here, because of the special rule of a shchimera, a kinyan will not be required. And now the question is, what will be, if we'll say that a bari could change his will according to these parameters, will a kinyan be required? Many Rishonim are of the opinion that a kinyan will be required. Like in any other situation where a healthy person is entering in a transaction that the halacha requires a kinyan to show commitment. Other Rishonim have to suggest that since we're comparing, in this case, a bari to shchimera, it doesn't make sense to differentiate and say that in the very same act, a shchimera and a bari are treated differently, and in this case, a bari would not require a kinyan either. Says the Gemara, Amar HaMashar Shel Rava. So to answer this question, if Rabbi Yochanan Breika's ruling is only speaking to a shchimera, or also to a bari, he brings a raya from the following Gemara that we learned in Masechta Ksubos. Toshma, Domalei Reb Nosson L'Rebbe. Reb Nosson told Rebbe, Shenisa Mishnaschem, when you taught us the Mishnah about the halacha of Ksubos B'din Dichrin, which we're going to describe in a minute, the way you wrote it, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breika. There is a clause in Ksuba, known as the clause of Ksubos B'din Dichrin. We know that a woman could bring into her marriage many different types of assets. She could bring in nechsi malug, which the husband has a right to use, to eat the payers of the nechsi malug. And then when the marriage terminates, if she, because of divorce, or the husband dying before the wife, she gets back those nechsi malug. Nechsi tzoyim barzel are the nechassim that are evaluated, assessed at the time of the marriage. And again, when the marriage terminates, provided that he dies before her, the husband's estate has to give the wife that value. She could bring in the dunya, she could bring in different assets into a marriage. Chazal were anxious that actually a woman should bring in assets to a marriage. But a father of a girl is going to be reluctant to allow that to give his daughter a generous amount of nechassim to bring into the marriage for the following concern. The wife is entitled to get back all of these nechassim only if the husband dies before the wife. But if the wife dies before the husband, as we've learned many times, then the husband is the yorish of the wife. Then when the husband dies, who are his yorishim? His sons. Particularly in the times of Chazal, men had more than one wife. So we could have a scenario where a man has more than one wife. He has two wives. One wife brought in a lot of nechassim into the marriage. The other one did not. But the wife who didn't bring assets into the marriage is the wife that had many sons. And then what we're going to end up having is that when he, the father, dies, and his sons come to yarshen him, the Yerusha is divided equally amongst all the sons. And the sons from the wife, who weren't grandchildren of the father-in-law, who provided all of this to the son-in-law, will end up getting a share. So therefore, Chazal included in the Ksuba a clause called Ksubas B'nin Dichrin, which says, as we're going to read, the Tanan, Lekosla B'nin Tichrin, that even if the Ksuba doesn't read that any male children, the Heaven Loch Minoi, that we will have, and in your son, Ksuba, Kesef Ksubech Al Yesel Chakeyem, Demachem Chayev. That the Mishnah Masechta Ksubas teaches us that even if that clause was omitted from the Ksuba, it's still applicable, which says as follows, that if, this is a very important part, If the husband dies, the father of these Yarshim died, and he has some of his own assets, so he could fulfill Hilchas Yerusha with those assets, then that's divided amongst the sons as the halacha requires. But then we don't divide the amount that the husband got from his father-in-laws. And each wife's sons will get what their mother brought into the marriage. And again, the reason Chazal instituted this was to encourage father-in-laws to give their son-in-laws big nadin, big dowry, because they're not concerned, because when the husband will pass away, it won't go to the husband's children that are not this father-in-law's grandchildren. It'll end up by his grandchildren. If it'll end up by the person's grandchildren, he's fine with being generous. Interesting shaila and rishayim. What happens if there's a bechor? How do we coordinate the halacha that a bechor, that we've discussed at length, gets pishnayim with this clause? So there are different opinions in the rishayim. Some rishonim actually suggest that in the case where there's a bechor, the entire clause of the ksus ben nidchren doesn't come into play, because you can't coordinate these two competing concepts. Other rishonim suggest, no, the bechorah will be divided according the assets that the father, that are the father's assets. That's where the bechor will get his pishnayim. In the ksus ben nidchren, he'll be an equal partner to everyone else. A third opinion in the Rishayim is that the Ksubas Ben Dichrin clause is put into play, but for every wife, what I call, for the wife that had a Bechor, there he'll get a double portion of the Ksubas Ben Dichrin. But again, this is the language in every Ksuba. And again, what we're trying to accomplish in our Shir, the beauty of Torah, is to try to bring a raya from this terminology it's used in the Ksuba by the Ksuba Spin and Dichrin. What is the halacha when Rabbi Yochanan Breuker said his din? Did he only say it to a Shchimera, or did he even say it to a Bari? So the halacha is that every Ksuba, even if it wasn't actually inserted in the Ksuba, this is part of the law. Shetanai Bezno. Vamlei Rebbe. And this story, Reb Nosson said the wording of the Ksuba, that the brothers Yersin. Now, as the Rashbam explains, and we're going to learn the Gemara the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. We should have the Siyat of the Shmai to understand it with the Rashbam's Pshat. Taishas has a different approach. He says, let's think about it. What's the wording of the Ksus Ben Dichrin? He uses the word Yerusha. Right? Yersin. Let's think about another point. What does the Ksus Ben Dichrin accomplish? That some brothers are going to get more than other brothers. The children of the wife whose father gave a bigger dowry or has less sons, or both, will end up having more than the others. So what is that situation? That's a situation of more and less. Who allows brothers to get some brothers to get more and some brothers to get less? Rabbi Yochanan Breuker. So now where we're up to is that this Ksuvus Ben Dichrin is only effective if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breuker. Furthermore, when is the Ksuba written? Ksuba is written when there's a young couple, Baruch Hashem, getting married. He's certainly a Bari. A Shchemera isn't getting married. So we see, we have an answer to our question. We see that Yerusha of Rabbi Yochanan Breuker is even for a Bari. And in fact, says the Rashbam, our immediate question that we began to share with, what is the halacha? According to Rabbi Yochanan Breuker, is Rabbi Yochanan Breuker's din only speaking to a Shchemera or even to a Bari, has been answered. We just proved it. We just explained it. That it's speaking even to a Bari. And the rest of this sugya that we're going to work with now is only explaining a shaklavataria, a dialogue that took place between Rebbe and Reb Nosson in the wording of the Ksus Ben Dichrin. But the answer that we were seeking, we have. And that's exactly what happens here. Vamlei Rebbe. So Rebbe tells his Rebbe, Reb Nosson, why did you insert in the Ksubas Ben Dichrin the word Yersin? which, as I just explained, puts you into a corner, so to speak, to have to only follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breika. Because according to Rabbanon, this is not acceptable, where you have a Yerusha giving some more, some less. Why don't you use the word Yispun, that it's a gift? If it's a Matana, then it'll work even according to the Rabbanon. For as we learned earlier in our parak, the Rabbanon agree if you use the word Matana, you could do whatever you want with the money. So that was Rebbe's reaction to Reb Natson. Vami Rebbe, but then afterwards Rebbe said to Reb Natson, Yaldus Haisavi. I acted somewhat childish. Ve'asti Panei B'Natson Abavli. I was a little too quick to disagree. Ela the Kaimelon, because we know the halach is, Benin Dichrid Loitarfim Mishabdi. The halach is as follows. The wife dies. So the husband's a Yairish. He sells off assets that he yashins from his wife. Then the husband dies. And the father come, and the sons come to yashin from their father, and they want to employ the Ksubis Tevin and Dichrin clause. They can't go back to the people who bought the assets that the husband yashin from the wife. Of course not. He sold it fair and square. Now, Isal Gedaitich says, Rebbe, if I am correct, that the Ksubis Ben Dichrin is not a Yerusha, but the Ksubis Ben Dichrin is a gift, so then it's their gift from when their mother died. And the halach ought to be that they should be able to collect those assets that the father sold after the mother died. Amai loy tafri mimishabdi. El shmamina, it must be that the word in Yerson is indeed correct. Ask the ritva. What we just learned is so beautiful. Why the word yizbun is not appropriate. So why when Rebbe told Reb Natson, don't use the word Yerson, use the word Yizbun, didn't Reb Natson immediately defend himself? Why didn't he immediately defend himself that way? So I saw the Ritva gives three terutzim to this question. One terutz he gives is that Reb Natson is actually of the opinion that the Benin Dichrin have a right to go to the Mishubadim. They have a right to go to the people who bought the assets from the father. One teretz. A second teretz, that Reb Natson understood that even if he'll use the word Yizbun, it's not a regular gift that is effective from the moment that the mother dies. It's some sort of a new type of gift that doesn't allow the sons to collect from the Mishabadim. But then the Ritva has a beautiful teretz. I particularly like this teretz. He says, of course, Reb Natson could have immediately told Rebbe what you're saying doesn't make sense. But Reb Natson was a master teacher. And he wanted his Talmud, he wanted his student to figure it out himself that he's wrong. So instead of immediately telling him what you're saying doesn't make sense, he wanted Rebbe to think through and come to the same conclusion what I said is incorrect. Because it can't be a matana, because the word matana would give them the right to go to the lekuchas, which is not the halacha. El shmamina, yersin tanan. And as the Gemara says, the Gemara now sort of wraps it up, what we said earlier. Man shamed le dis le hesfara. Who's the mandamah that says that a Yerusha, that we can't have a situation of a Yerusha where one son will end up with some sons will end up more than others? Rav Yochanan Breika. Now, when is the Ksubas Benin Dichrin written? When they're Baruch Hashem young and healthy. And yet, Rav Yochanan Breika's din is applicable. Shmamina, afil bebari. Says Rav Papa Tabaya. No. We have a fundamental problem, asks Rav Papa Tabaya. Bein l'man d'ami Yizbun. Whether we use the wording Yizbun, or Bein l'man d'ami Yerson, or we use the word Yerusha in the Ksubas Benin Dichrin, we have a problem. How could a father enter into such a clause? How could such a clause be legally binding? When they're writing the Ksuba, there are no children. You can't make a kinyan when there isn't a second side to the kinyan. Because I feel Ramey, the Amma, or the Makna Dovish Labalaylam. Even Ramey, who's the Mandama throughout Shas, that is Makel and says, or the Makna Dovish Labalaylam, Hani Mili, the Dovish Eshtabalaylam. Ramey's lenient opinion represents that even though the actual item I'm selling you doesn't exist, He says that's a valid kinyan. But you and I, the buyer and the seller, are Baruch Hashem here. Avol, what's happening here? The husband, when he gets married, enters into a ksubas b'nedikrin situation that he's obligating himself what he'll give to his children. He has no children. He's just getting married. Avol davar she'ein ba'olam loy. Nobody holds that that's valid. So how must we understand the validity of the ksubas b'nedikrin clause? That's a tanai bezdin. Shani. There's a special takon de rabbanon that the ksubas b'nedikrin clause should be effective, even though it violates all of the halachas of kinyonim. So shani hachinami tonight, hachinami tonight best than shani. Meaning as follows: all of the problems that you ask, according to the rabbanon, that how could you use the word Yerusha, where you end up having some sons getting more or less? Yes, the rabbanon will agree that normally that is not valid, for they disagree with Rabbi Yochanan Breikah. But you can't bring rice for Ksubas B'Nedikrin, because Ksubas B'Nedikrin is a special rule that the Rabbanan instituted. How come the Rabbanan have a right to do that? As we learned so many times, Hefka Bezdin Hefka, Rabbanan have that ability, that have that authority. And in fact, the Mefarshim go on to say, now we could understand another question that's troubling in understanding how a husband enters into a ksubas b'nedikrin clause. There's a concept that we've discussed previously of an asmachta, entering into a deal that you're not really sure or you think won't happen or may not happen is not considered binding. So again, when this husband gets married, does he know what's going to happen? Does he know if his wife will die before him? If he'll die before his wife, that I'll have another wife, that this one will have more children, that one will have more children. There's so many unknowns. Isn't this a classical example of an asmachta, that asmachta like Kanya? The answer is, of course it's an asmachta. It's all part of Tanai Bezdin, that Chazal gave the validity to the Ksubas B'Nedikrin clause. So now, what is the raya? Ela mishum the kamapakai b'loshin yirsin. What is the raya to Rabbi Yotau Shaila? Enochanami. The Ksubas B'Nedikrin clause is valid because Chazal made it valid. The question is, why did they have to use the word Yerusha? For the same price, they could have used the word Yizbun. They used the word Yerusha to teach us the halacha, to teach us the halacha that according to Rabbi Yochanan Breikah, even a bari can give one son more and another son less. Hada Amar Abaya. Then Abaya says, no. Lama Sidamri. My proof that the fact that Chazal, the fact that Rav Nosson went out of his way to use the word Yerusha in the Ksubas B'Nedikrin clause is to prove that according to Rabbi Yochanan Breikah, even a bari could give one or some sons more than the others is not correct. Because there's another clause in the Ksuba that we learned in Masechta Ksubas. The halacha is, as hard as it is to say, a father is not obligated to support his children. The Gemara Masechta Ksubas discusses up to 6 years old. But certainly after 6 years old, the father doesn't have to support his children. But in the Ksuba, there's a clause that says that the Tanan, Lekosov law, if he didn't write into the Ksuba, Benin Nukfin, the Havel Chaminai, that females that will be born, if the father will, Rachmal Tzlam, pass away, Yiyasvim Bebesi, will remain in my home, the yitzim in the chosai, and be supported from my estate, ad the talochim legavrin, until they get married, chayiv. The estate is obligated to support them. So tonight, bezdin. Now this is a matana. It's a matana that every ksuba includes, that the father's estate will support the daughters that were born from the marriage until they get married. Again, there are many details to this. It matters how much. How much are they entitled to? If there are many daughters, it's not the subject of our share. This clause, so now let's stop for a moment. So we've learned in our share today that every ksuba has two new clauses. One is the clause of the ksubas b'nedikrin, which may be Yerusha, may be a matana. According to Rabbanan, it certainly has to be a matana. according to Yechim Breuker, we're not sure ourselves anymore. The Ksubas B'nin Nukfin clause is certainly a Matana. Now let's remember Gemara that we learned 3 blad ago. The Gemara discussed the following. It was really based on the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chavav Amabez. The Rabbanan learn as follows. If you used, everybody learns this actually. If you use the word Yerusha inappropriately, your statements are invalid. But we learned, if you use the word Matana in your phraseology, even though you also use the word Yerusha, that saves you. And then it has the din of Matana, and you can do it. Furthermore, we learned, when we learned those sugyas, that even if there's 2 different transactions happening simultaneously, and in one transaction you use the word Matana, and in the other transaction you use the word Yerusha, since in one of those sentences, in one of those statements, you use the word Matana, it'll give the other statement the power of Matana. So now let's put it all together. We have the Ksuba. The Ksuba has 2 clauses. One clause is the B'nai Nukfin, which is certainly a Matana, as I just described. And then we have the B'nai Dikrin. Says the Gemara, so once you use the word Matana by B'nai Nukfin, you could use the word Yerusha by B'nai Dikrin. And even if it's not a legitimate Yerusha, it wouldn't bother me. Because once you use the word Matana anywhere, it saves the day. That's the Gemara's question. V'hava, so now our every Ksuba has clauses that has 1 clause as a Matana, another clause Zebi Rusha, and as we learned earlier, Kol Zebi Rusha, V'Zebi Matana, when you have 2 clauses, and 1 clause is a Yerusha clause, and 1 clause is a Matana clause, I feel a Rabbanan Maida that it's valid. So now I understand. So now the Gemara is saying as follows. It could well be that the Ksubas B'nin Dichrin has the Yerusha word. It doesn't have anything to do with Rabbi Yochanan Breiko or the Rabbanan. You know why it's valid? Because we have the Matana sentence, a sentence before. And that's what makes it work. Amalei Rav Nechumi, Vistam Rav Chananya ben Chamumi, Min Yumi Labaya, M'may de B'tchad Beidina Iskin. If we say that these 2 clauses, the clause of B'nai Nukfin and the clause of B'nai Dikrin, were instituted at the same time, your argument is a very good argument. But if we'll say they were instituted at different times, Dilma betray Dina Iskin. Maybe they were instituted 2 times. So isn't a situation where I have these 2 phrases traveling together, and the word Matana that I'm appropriately using by the B'nai Nukfin save the day for the phrase by the B'nai Dikrin? Maybe it wasn't done at the same time. And if it wasn't done at the same time, the Matana of one, the word Matana by one, can't help me for the word Yerusha by the next. Says the Marlois Takadatach. It doesn't seem correct to say that they were instituted at different times. The Tani Reisha, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Ksuvos. Zeh Medrash Darsha B'Los Ben Azariah L'fnei Chachamim B'Kerem B'Yavna. Habanim Yirshu, the sons Yashin, their mother, as we explained earlier, when the father dies, the son gets the different sons of different wives get the different assets that they brought into the marriage. Habanis Yizaynu, and the daughters get supported until they get married. When does the Ksubas B'nai Dikrin clause kick in? When the father dies. That's when we go back and look at all the Yerushas that the mother, that the father got from the mothers, and we employ the B'nai Dikrin clause. This that we say the daughters are supported, that the Ksuba obligates the father's estate to support the daughters, only is El Acha Mitzvah Saviyim. So, the Gemara completes its argument. Iam Peshlama B'chad Beidina Iskin. If we'll say that both of these clauses were instituted together, so now we can understand why we can learn the rule from one to the other. How do you, Hani the Yalpin and Takana Metakana? Because they were instituted together, And that's why the rules are the same. Most the rule that we're talking about now, that these clauses only kick in after the father passes away. Eli Amrit, betray Beidina Iskin, and these two clauses should be viewed separately. These are totally two separate clauses, totally two separate takanas. One has nothing to do with the other. So if we see that they both have the same rule, argues the Gemara at this point, it must be that they were instituted together. If they were instituted together, it doesn't bother me that we use the word Yerusha, but Iksuvus b'nin Dikrin. I have the word Matana, but Iksuvus b'nin Dikrin, saving the day. Says Maramamai. That's incorrect line of reasoning. Lo'olam eimalach betray beidin iskam. I would say they were not instituted at the same time. If they weren't instituted at the same time, so why do we say that they have the exact same rules? Answer to Gemara, very simple terms. Obey din abasra talking kibay dam mekama. The second rule, the v'nun dikrin, Chazal wanted the both of them to be similar. In order that there should be consistency, they instituted that they should be as similar as possible. And therefore they instituted that just like the B'nai Nukfin only kicks in after the father dies, the same way B'nai Dichron. Or you could argue the other way. But it doesn't mean that they were done together. If it doesn't mean they were done together, now let's finish the sugya. Let's bring this whole Gemara to the final point. If they weren't put together, so now the B'nai Dichron clause was instituted independently. And what did Rav Nosson teach us at the beginning of the shir? That what is the wording of that clause? Yerusha. If it has the word Yerusha, it must be following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika. Because according to Rabban, you can't have Yerusha that gives one son more than the next. And Iksuvus b'nin Dikrin clearly could end up with such a situation where some sons will end up with more than other sons. And yet we use the word Yerusha. When is the Iksuvus b'nin Dikrin clause inserted? When they Baruch Hashem get married. And he's a healthy young man. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika's din was said even to a Bari, not only to a Shemara. That's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. Taisus, other Rishonim, have a very different approach to the Gemara. Their approach to Gemara actually leaves the Gemara hanging. That this question is not answered. I'm not going to go into the whole approach. Baruch Hashem, we got through the Rashbam's approach. They have a whole different approach, but their approach leaves the question unanswered. And actually, Shulchan Aruch follows their approach, and there's a very big debate in the Rishonim. What do we now do? That if a healthy father, Baruch Hashem, said, I want one son to get more than the others, he used the word Yerusha. The smart thing to do is we use the word Matana, but he didn't come to the Shir, so he didn't know how to do that. He used the word Yerusha. Will the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika apply or not? Complicated question. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel. Hakayif kol nechasav l'ishto. If somebody went and wrote all of his assets to his wife, v'yasa al apotropa, he turned it into apotropos. Meaning as follows. If somebody writes, somebody's children are supposed to yarshin him. Why did this person give all of his assets to his wife? Because he wanted his children to respect his wife. You know how you get respect? If you control the wallet. So he said that he didn't mean to give her all of the assets. What he meant to do was, he meant that she should be the apotropos, and like that his children will show respect to his wife. The Rishonim explained this Gemara in the following way. There are very serious halachic ramifications in what I'm going to say. In halacha, we find two types of apotropos. Sometimes I appoint an apotropos. Sometimes I appoint an administrator to handle my affairs because I don't trust that my children or whoever will handle them properly. That's actually a typical case of an apotropos. But there's a whole new type of apotropos, which the Rishonim suggests is really the case of Al Gabara. We're referring here to a situation where the children may be very qualified take care of their affairs, the financial affairs. But the father has a whole different purpose here. He wants his wife to get respect. By making her the administrator, that's how she's going to get respect. Where's their nafkamina? I saw three nafkaminas, there are probably more. I'm going to mention three nafkaminas. There's a very interesting tshuva written by the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef wrote a shayla tshuva sefer called Afkas Roichel. He says like this, what would be the halacha if the wife is incapable of running a business? What would be the din then? If we say that the apotropos of our gemara is not an apotropos of running the business, the apotropos here is an apotropos of COVID, so she doesn't have to know, she doesn't have to be a businesswoman, she just has to be capable of getting COVID. Everybody's capable of getting COVID. Davkus Reichel says, go on nafkamina. Another nafkamina is, let's say the children are young, but they Baruch Hashem get bigger, and they're old enough to manage the affair. If we say that the apotropos that he's appointing her to be, because he wants somebody who's qualified to manage the affairs, once they become adults and they're qualified to handle the affairs, or let's say she proves, unable to prove, to take care of fear of the financial situation, then the halacha is that she's no longer apotropos. But if it's a COVID issue, it doesn't make a difference that they're capable or she's incapable. Another nafkamina that the Mefarsha debate is, would a kinyan be required? We know, again, we spoke about it just a few minutes ago, that kinyan is required to create a transaction. So if her role as apotropos is actually to administer the funds, so that's a real financial transaction, and a kinyan would be required. If, however, it's not a real financial transaction, it's just a COVID issue, then a kinyan is not required. One more very important point, I should have probably mentioned this earlier. When the Gemara says here that if somebody writes all of his assets to his wife, then he didn't really mean that she should be his yoirish. He meant that she should be the apotropos. We have to be very careful to understand, because he wrote all of the assets. So since, and that's the wording of the Gemara, you have to learn the Gemara properly, kol nechasos, since he wrote over all the assets to his wife, we assume that the father certainly didn't want to exclude his children from being his yorshim. What he meant was that his wife should be the administrator. But let's say he didn't give everything to her, then the din clearly would be that she gets what he meant, what he wrote, he meant that she should get, not just be apotropos. Pshita, continues the Gemara. In a situation where the father were to write all of his assets to Benoi HaGadol, to his adult son, it's again clear that what he really meant wasn't that to exclude the other children from a Yerusha, but all he meant was Leos El Apotropos. But what will be that, and he wants that the younger children should give respect, should show cover to their older brother, which is actually the halacha. As we know, Kabit es avicha, es l'rabbis achicha hagotl. B'nai ha-kotn mai. But what will be the halacha if the father wrote all of his assets to b'nai ha-kotn? Do we say that he meant just to get his son covered? They say, a cotton. Why would I care about my a cotton getting covered? And maybe there he really meant that the son should get everything. What's the din? Itma. Rav Chanoi bar Idi Omer Shmuel, afila got pnoi hakotn amotl barisa, who's a child. The father was worried that his brothers won't show him the proper respect. And if he wrote all of his nechasim to that child, his intention was that he should get respect. Pshita, benoi to acher, if he wrote to his son and someone else, acher b'matana, or benoi b'aptropis. If somebody wrote over all of his assets, this is the first pshat of the Rashbam, this is the pshat that we're going to learn with. In a case where he wrote all of his assets to his son, we assume what he meant was to get his son covered. But if he wrote all of his assets to acher, to someone who's not a relative, so that's not a person that the father is seeking to get covered for. It must be that he meant to actually give him all the assets. Ishtei arusa, if his wife is only an arusa to him. Or ishtei grusha, it's a wife that he divorced. And he wrote to those women that he's giving them all of his assets. So these aren't people that he's looking for their covered. And we assume that he meant to get them a matana. But now ask the Gemara. Ibayru. Bas etz labonim. If he wrote all of his assets to a daughter, where there are sons, or there's an isha etzel achim, he leaves brothers who are his yarshim, and he leaves a wife. A wife is not a yarish. When a person dies without children, his brothers are his yarshim. Or Isha Eitzel Bnei Habal. A person was married with a second marriage, and he wants his children to show respect to his second wife. So now the question is, he writes all of the assets to her. Do we say that the reason he wrote it was just to make sure that his children will show respect to the stepmother? Mahu. Amar Ravina Mishmei Derava, Bekula Lakana. In all situations, the wife is not the owner of these assets. We say that he really just wanted to get covered. Labam Ishta Erusav Ishta Grusha. Those are the only situations where we can't understand, we can't fathom why would he want to give them covered. And there we have to interpret his statement at face value that he wants them to get the assets. And all the other cases that we just described, he meant to get them just to be an apotropos so they could get covered. Rabavir Mishmei the Rav Amma, the Kule Kani, the Vam Ish Eitzel Achim, Ish Eitzel Balabai. He adds that, and if you want to reduce the machloikis, Rav Avira and Rav and Ravina agree by Ishta Grusa and Ishta Arusa that it's Kani. He didn't mean to get them covered. They agree by a wife to the brothers or a wife to her stepsons that it's that's certainly for covered. The Machloikis is in one case, Bas Eitzel Habonim. Ravina holds that by Bas Eitzel Habonim, his intent is to get his daughter covered. Rav Avira says his intent is not to get his daughter covered. His intent is to get, it was at face value, that she should be his yarnish. So as I said earlier, when somebody writes that for the older son, or somebody writes for the wife, when he has the children are not her children, it's a stepmother, his intent is to get covered. And the Rashbam and the Rishonim point out that there's anyway a separate obligation to show respect to your oldest brother, Kabris Avicha. The S is to teach us an older brother. But there's an obligation to show respect to your father's wife, even though she's not your mother. However, the halacha in those two cases is very different. An older brother you have to show respect to even after your father passes away. And in fact, the Rishonim say it's only an older brother, not an older sister. A father's wife, the obligation, according to most Rishonim, is only as long as the father's alive. Once the father's no longer alive, there is no chiv, certainly not the raisa, to show her respect, because the father's no longer alive. Moreover, the Paiskim discuss the following interesting shaila. The Gemara says, the Torah says, it's a kibbutz aveim. So when your parents are married, the Gemara says, you have to show your father respect over your mother. Your father tells you to do one thing, and your mother tells you to do another thing. If your mother's alive, and your father's alive, and your father's remarried, you have to show respect to your mother and to your stepmother. But certainly, if your mother tells you to do one thing, or if your mother tells you to disrespect your father's wife, you may not have to show respect. Because here there's a chiv deraisa, and there may not be a chiv deraisa. Now, there may be a nafkamina when the father's alive versus when the father's no longer alive. It's always nice to show respect. One more vart as we finish the shir. A Gemara says, a kaisa kal nechasa l'bnoi, or l'ishtoi, l'yasa ala patrapa. So the Chiddush Sfarim explain, what is this Gemara teaching us? It's a lesson to each one of us, they say. A kaisa kal nechasa l'bnoi, all of the assets that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have these assets, but l'yasa ala patrapa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give us the money, whatever else we Baruch Hashem have for ourselves. We're no more than apotropos. We're no more than administrators to give it out. We have an obligation to show chesed and give tzedakah to people who don't have. So the question is, why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do it? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is anxious. Oilem chesed yibana. Ki b'glal adov azeh. Nosem titein. Ki b'glal adov azeh yivarech Hashem al kecha. Hashem recognizes that the world can't have an existence if tzedakah and chesed is not done in the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made certain people the apotropos and certain people the receivers. But if that apotropos doesn't do his job, chas v'shalom, he could lose his job. So it's important that if somebody gets from a Kodesh Baruch Hu wealth, he's an apotropos. He's an obligation to do chesed v'emes.